Hello, and welcome to the Architectette podcast. I'm your host, Caitlin Brady. Architectette is a podcast that illuminates the lesser heard stories of women plus in architecture and related fields. On today's episode of Architectette, we welcome the hosts of the Open Plan podcast, Maria Pastorelli and Emily Khalid. Maria and Emily met during grad school at Georgia Tech and have continued their friendship and podcast collaboration despite working in Atlanta and Philadelphia, respectively. In Philadelphia, Emily is a lead architect and project manager at WSP. In Atlanta, Maria is an architectural designer with a background in marketing. Their podcast conversationally bridges the gap between professional development, licensure, and lifestyle. On today's episode, we talk about the origins of Maria and Emily's friendship and how the podcast developed from their conversations about school, work, and exam prep into something more formal and published online. We next chat about a huge focus of the podcast, the AREs. Emily talks about the highs and lows of her recent experience taking and passing all of the architecture registration examinations, and Maria shares her insights into her study process and exam strategy. Next, Maria discusses her transition from architecture to marketing and the skills that she developed along the way, and she also emphasizes the value of exploring different career avenues within the field. Emily also reflects on the challenges of teaching first-year architecture students and how she encourages them to build creative problem-solving skills within an architectural toolkit. We end by reminiscing about the challenges of job hunting during the pandemic. Both guests share their experiences transitioning into the job market from grad school during uncertain times and how it impacted their career paths. All links will be in the show notes. While you're there, please share this episode with a friend or colleague, and you can help us grow by leaving a rating or review. You can also follow us on social media for exclusive content. We are Architectette on Instagram and LinkedIn. You can also subscribe to our newsletter at architectette.com. That's architect, E-T-T-E.com. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to the podcast.
Yay, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us. We're excited to be here.
So to start, if you could just give a quick blurb about your background, your education, and then your current roles. We can start with Maria.
So I'm originally from Brazil. So I did, I grew up there and did all of my high school, all the stuff in Brazil, and decided to come to the United States for school to study architecture. And so I moved to Atlanta in 2014 to go to Georgia Tech to do my undergrad in architecture. And then I was interning and really fell in love with architecture and was pretty sure that was what I was going to do. So I decided to just go straight into grad school, looking into obviously getting my professional degree because Georgia Tech is 4+2. So I did undergrad and then went straight into my master's while interning, working part-time here and there. Then graduated in the middle of COVID, side note. But since then, I've been working in various roles. I kind of explored a couple of different things. After graduation, I did a whole year of marketing for architecture. So didn't really do design for a whole year, but learned a lot of them on the marketing side. And then I had somewhat of a hybrid role of doing both for a small firm where I was mostly architecture, but also doing all of their marketing, which was really unique. And now I'm currently studying for the AREs and contracting for a good friend of mine who started her own firm.
Awesome. Excellent. Emily, do you mind giving just a little background as well?
Sure. Yeah. I started my architecture career in undergrad at Temple. So I started off school in Philadelphia, worked for about 5 years. And at the time, I really wasn't sure if architecture was for me. And, you know, I started with a 4-year degree, so I wasn't ready to dive right into a master's program to go ahead and get that NAAB credited or licensure kind of required school. So worked for 5 years and I explored transportation, multifamily housing, healthcare. So I was kind of all over the place those 5 years. I really just wanted to figure out what I wanted to do. I ended up really loving my last firm, which was in multifamily residential, and kind of decided there, like, yes, I do want to go back to grad school and kind of fulfill out the rest of this journey. So yeah, then I went to Georgia Tech, and we'll get into this, but that's where I met Maria, and that's where I did my master's and kind of rounded out the architecture career, I mean, education requirements finally. And then right after that, you know, got licensed, spent a few years doing that, and now I'm a architect and project manager at WSP. We're a pretty large firm, and the Philly office itself actually is not that large. So it feels like a small office in a big firm vibe. Our architecture group is only about 7 of us. So it still feels intimate, but, you know, is in a larger firm. So has some benefits that kind of seeing both sides. But yeah, it's been fun. I've been a project manager the last 2 years, which has been definitely a change. But I'm really liking taking that track in architecture.
Excellent. And we touched on it a little bit, but you both also run a podcast called the Open Plan Podcast. And when I was doing research for when I was starting my podcast, I found a lot of kind of just two guys talking or one guy talking or many guys talking about architecture.
Exactly.
There's actually a lot of other podcasts out there that are women hosted focusing on women. But what makes your podcast unique is it's kind of that it's more conversational. And I think it has like a flair of personal. And I really love that because I listen to a lot of other podcasts where it's like two girls talking about their lives and not related to architecture. Maybe it's fashion or reality TV, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I loved that your podcast was also kind of in that style or that flavor, but also tethered to architecture. So of, you know, the kind of the core of that podcast is your friendship. So I'm wondering, how did you both meet and how did your friendship grow from, you know, strangers to podcast co-hosts?
Yeah. So, yeah, I can start it, but Emily, fill in if I forget something.
You tell it.
Yeah. So we both started grad school together at Georgia Tech, but I had been there for undergrad and, you know, had a couple of friends that went along with me, and I knew the professors and knew some of the people. Emily was coming in with the new cohort.
No friends.
And I don't really remember how long we were like not friends for, but I just remember
the dark years.
Yeah, I feel like even in like the second semester, maybe we were already, you know, talking to each other, maybe had a class together.
I think it was the Portman Boston trip we did together. We did like a class field trip, essentially all flying out to Boston from Atlanta. And I think seeing Maria there kind of outside the classroom setting, because we didn't have any studios together, actually, which is crazy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That was the second semester of grad school. So we weren't friends for one semester. That was it. And then we connected. But yeah, we took a trip and then obviously like we didn't go out a lot during school because we don't have time. But on this trip, we obviously, you know, we're going out to dinner and drinks and stuff. And we just kind of bonded over that. And then from there, we just were really close, walking to classes together, doing stuff, obviously, you know, studying together, struggling through studio together. It was kind of nice that we had different studios because I feel like we would talk about it and get help from each other from different perspectives and stuff. And then we actually that summer, I think we used to live pretty close in the
walking
city
distance
in Atlanta,
from each other,
walking distance from each other. And then both of our internships were also close together in Midtown Atlanta. So we would a lot of times when one of us wasn't late, but most of the time we would walk to work together. And sometimes walk back if the times aligned. But basically we went like up to our jobs and then back down south to where we used to live. And it was just really fun. And we were both really into podcasts at the time. But also like, you know, mostly podcasts about fun stuff, girls talking or lifestyle podcasts, maybe true crime. Oh. I don't know. But we also wished that there was a podcast about architecture that was more entertaining than just like old guys or principals and just very, very, you know, intense. And like, we don't want to listen to like technical stuff. Like we want to talk, we listen to podcasts about architecture, but we don't want it to be like a class or feel like work.
The stuff no one talks about. Like we were studying for our lead exams, for example, that summer. And we were like, where is the test content that we could listen to or like hear other people who are, you know, their experience taking these tests. And I think that a lot of that stemmed from that. We're like, we could record our conversations walking home, actually. And I think it'd be pretty entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was like we should record these conversations. And then but we didn't have time for that because we were in school and working and we still had another year of grad school. Mm-hmm. So it's just since then, it's been an idea in the back of our heads. And then when the pandemic hit, we found ourselves with a lot of time. And Emily was still living in Atlanta, so we decided to start it in 2020. So we started kind of in the summer planning it and thinking about it. And then I think our first episode was September of 2020. So that's how that started. And we always wanted it to be conversational because we didn't – it's so much harder to do a podcast that's like very professional. And we wanted it to be like a fun hobby outlet thing. It was never supposed to be like a super formal,
super serious, like school project or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's been really fun. It's definitely like, I can't believe how long it's been since we started it, but it's just been a really positive thing. And it has reflected on our professional lives a lot more than we thought it would. Like my marketing opportunity was very heavily relying on that experience from the podcast. So that was refreshing and kind of fun.
Yeah. Like how in other ways has it reflected on your professional life? Like I think you said that job opportunity, but like they loved hearing about your ARE journey or they love the skills that you're putting in.
So I think just in having it on our resume and having this legitimate like project on the side was a big kind of differentiator for us. Like I don't know how much it has for Emily, but for me it was very much like what people wanted to talk about when they even read my resume and they're like, oh my gosh, like you have a podcast and legit has like a bunch of episodes and you guys are, you know, relatively consistent. Not really, but it just sounded so like, I guess, so impressive on the other side of the table, which we didn't really feel like it was. Like that was never the goal.
Right.
So, but yeah, it has just put ourselves in a different light. I think we're not doing just the traditional path after school. We're kind of a little bit different than everyone else.
Yeah. I think it's a unique thing that you don't see on a resume that often, especially in architecture, like, oh, podcast host, what are you guys talking about? And it kind of like spirals from there. But I think the ARE content, things like that, that you can share on LinkedIn does get good traction because they see that, oh, this person is an advocate for licensure, or, you know, that in the end, it's communication skills too. Like, how are they able to, you know, speak? And then, I guess, in an employer's mind, they're like, oh, how are they going to speak to a client? How are they going to speak to teammates? And it kind of gives you, I don't know, like a little bit of a differentiator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think the networking aspect of it too, and I'm sure you have that as well, interviewing so many people, because ours is like, there's some interviews, but some, not all of them are interviews, but still like we're reaching out to people and we're making lists of people we want to talk to and then talking to them, creating that connection. And then they're like, oh my gosh, these girls are cool. And you know, you just create that relationship that you have an excuse to talk to them. Even if you might not know them.
Right.
Like, can you come on my podcast? Oh, also now we're best friends.
Let's keep in touch. Yeah.
Yeah. That's when I listened to your episodes, it was like, oh my gosh, like Philadelphia. Like Emily, like that you had that background in Philly and then you ended up moving. Because I started listening to the episodes way after they started airing. Mm-hmm. So I think probably like 2021, probably 2022 actually. So it was like, oh, they live in Atlanta. Like, that's cool. And I was like, oh my gosh, wait, she lives in Philadelphia now, like as time had gone on. So it's fun to see that. And I feel like we met an hour earlier today to record your podcast. But I do feel like I've known you guys a little bit more. Maria, I heard about your wedding. Congratulations. Oh,
thank you. Yeah, we're also like two very open book type people, so it would be impossible not to mix our personal lives because we're also really good friends, so it's like we're most of the time we're talking is on the podcast.
Yeah, and we'll like save our catch up for the podcast, so it's like let's surprise each other during the intro so we get our real reactions, things like that.
Oh, I love that. And so do you have any statistics to share in terms of like what type of growth you've seen in the podcast or even who really your audience is?
I guess one of the more surprising things that I think have shifted a little bit from what we initially set out to do is how well the testing episodes do. Our lead test episode is, I think, our most listened to this day. It's like a 25-minute episode that we recorded. I remember it was the day that Biden got elected, and it was really loud outside, in the streets. And it was just like, we had scheduled it, but then we had other plans. We went out to dinner and stuff. It was just like, let's just get this done. And it was really like, yeah.
We don't love the technical content on our podcast.
No, we and it was just like, let's just get through this. Yeah. You know, it was very practical. It wasn't very much like conversational or anything. It was just like, let's give you the information. And it's still one of the most listened to. And I think it's probably because it's shorter and people probably send it to their friends or something. So then after that, and then once Emily got going with her ARE journey, we started doing more ARE content, which wasn't really like very much the plan at first, I think. But it has done really well. And I think those are probably the most popular episodes because I think people just listen to them multiple times, maybe.
Yeah.
Definitely share it. So,
and that's kind of our demographic too. It's like we are mostly, I guess I would say, like 20 to 25 kind of age range, or I guess it's like the 20 to 30 age range, people right out of college. So yeah, like Maria said, any test content does really well, and then career stuff following right behind that. And it's crazy because we have international listeners too. Like, it's really fun to see, like, on our like dashboard kind of like map, being like, wow, we have a listener in Africa, or like Brazil,
Egypt.
Yeah. Asia. So it's really cool. And the cool thing about podcasts is that, like, you know, you record it once and people just find it. And, you know, even though our lead episode is, you know, 2 or 3 years old at this point or something, it's still listened to daily. So we kind of like are leaning into the young professional, or, you know, kind of that kind of content as well. So
yeah, I think initially too, we were doing more of like school age of like, oh, like how to apply for undergrad. Yeah. And like some of our early episodes are very much like, younger. Is architecture for you? And that, I mean, that was fine. But I think our audience is like more like where we are versus below like earlier career or, you know, school age. So I think we're realizing that. And now we're just, for the most part, we're doing things that are aligning with where we are, which has been pretty good.
Yeah, I feel like it does follow our journey too, pretty much. Like, whatever we're doing at the time is whatever is reflected in the podcast. So it kind of works out. Yeah.
I wish I had the idea to do a podcast back when I was taking my AREs. And I would take notes, and then I would record myself reading my notes. Ooh. And then I would play it for myself as I, like, slept.
Could have sold those recordings. People want it.
Just me, like deadpan reading my notes.
Like an audiobook.
Yeah. Yeah, a sad, sad audiobook. Yeah. But it was just helpful to have that kind of echoing in my head, like, as I was kind of going about doing other things where I couldn't be physically reading.
Exactly.
But a podcast would have been very helpful aside, you know, instead I went with my own.
I don't think it existed that much. It wasn't, like, there's really not that many. Yeah. There's maybe a handful of ARE content stuff. There are some good ones, but a lot of it, you know, is just on the study material, or like, it's not really content of the actual test. So we try to differentiate that with our episodes. We're talking about actual practice questions, and it's a little triggering going back to that space, but I'm like opening up the NCARB handbook, like, oh gosh.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I also like we have some ideas of other episodes we want to do. And I think we've done a couple of like the more of the mental and psychological side of taking the test, and just like sharing our journey is valid as well. Just like not just the content, but saying like, hey, like, I honestly, like, the lack of episodes is the reflection that we're studying for.
Yeah, exactly.
So like when Emily was studying, it was a lot of like, okay, like, let's fit it in, and she was busy studying and I was working, but I wasn't studying, so I was doing a little bit more. But now I'm studying, so. But we like to talk about the kind of personal aspect too, like, how do you get over the stress of it and failing of tests, and how do you come back from that, all that stuff.
That kind of takes me to another question of looking at your journeys, which I know, Maria, yours is still in progress. Emily, you finished yours. What would you say the high and the low would be so far of taking the AREs?
Emily, you have
more. Yeah, sure. We'll start with Emily. Yeah.
Oh, the high and the low. Yeah. So this might be obvious, but that the high is when you pass, and that's very obvious, I know, but just the anticipation of when you click that screen of your instant feedback. Just,
oh my gosh, yeah. Your heart pounding.
It's like either the best moment of your life or the worst moment of your life, like literally. Like, and I just, it's a feeling I don't think I'll ever forget. Like, just when you do see that pass, it's just a wash of relief and a confidence boost, honestly. Like, you know, that I can do this, and it kind of, you know, propels you to take the next one. So I think that's definitely a high, just kind of getting them under your belt, especially when you're halfway through. You're kind of like, you know, I've done this before, I can do it. Mm-hmm. And of course, celebrating after is like so much fun. And like, especially when you have a partner who is a, like, side note, like pretty much taking it with you because they're just experiencing your stress. And then having that phone call, like, oh, I passed. And they're like, oh, thank God.
Like, I'm not gonna have to like cry on the couch.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have to deal with your moods like anymore. Like, or like, yeah. So that's definitely a high. The low, you know, might be very obvious to you, but when you fail, it can really take you to like a dark place of just imposter syndrome. That was a really big thing for me. Like, am I even, should I even be taking these tests? Like, am I even smart enough for these tests? Like, these are just real questions that when you see a fail, it's just very triggering. And like, especially when you work so hard to get there. And we always talk about how architecture students aren't used to failing things. Like, we, of all the groups of people in education, I mean, not, you know, a lot, there's a lot of hard workers, but like, we just, we work so hard and we're not, we take failure very personally, I think. So, but I think a big part of the journey is taking the personal out of the failure and just realizing it's not an attack on you. It's not an attack on your intelligence. It's just a test. And it's hard to get past that, but it definitely makes you, I mean, no one wants to see that. So you have your day of groveling, but it's always good to get back at it. So,
yeah, I think for me, so I haven't taken any yet. I just have finally started studying, and it, I think the high for me has been like, I started studying like 3 times, and I think probably other people have the same issue where you're like, you're really motivated and you have time, and then you start studying, and then as soon as like next week hits, you're like, never mind. And so I was just really happy and proud to have like, okay, I started in January 2nd. I was like, I'm starting. And I'm not, you know, I didn't have any really like plans or social activities or trips or anything going on. So it's like, I have no excuse. I'm going to start. And I have been consistently studying, which has been like the biggest challenge for me, is just like the consistency and the motivation and being excited about it. Like, I was just like dreading it because I was, you know, every few months you're like, you hate architecture and, you know, you want to quit and do something else. Totally normal.
You know how it goes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I finally like kind of, I'm falling in love with it again, and I'm enjoying studying, which is wild to think about. And I'm just like, that's been the highest like achievement of my journey so far. Haven't really had failure yet. I'm sure it's coming.
You don't know that.
But yeah. So, I mean, the low, I guess, would just be like those days where you're just like, ugh, like, I've been trying to study at least 3 hours a day. So like, when I study for 1 hour and I'm just like, I'm so done. So just, but that's not bad at all. For now, it's been mostly a positive experience. So I'm also planning to take them fairly close together as at least a first pass, and we'll see how it goes. But that's a problem for May.
Oh my gosh, fast approaching, but
yeah,
good luck.
Thanks. I'm sure we'll record an episode about it.
We definitely need to do a recap of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I look forward to seeing it. And at least you'll get some done before the summer. I feel like the summer is always so hard to study during.
That's the plan. Yeah. Spring seems like a great, great time to do that. We have a couple of friends that did the same strategy, and that's kind of what I'm following, is like studying in the like January to April, and then taking them, and then at least – you can take a break. If you fail them, whatever. You can take the summer and enjoy your life a little bit and then retake them.
Always plan something fun after. It doesn't have to be something huge. Even if you pass or fail, it's always like nice to have like, oh, we're going to go out to dinner. We're just, you know, there'll be something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, put your books down. It's like, okay, regardless of the outcome, I'm taking a break from the books, from the studying, and then go back. Mm-hmm. I had that where I started testing. I had studied, I think starting in the fall, my first test was in November, passed that. And then I scheduled one for January, right after the holiday. My grandma passed away. Oh. So it was like, just like a whole, like, I think we had like the whole funeral, all that stuff, like the week before my Ari. I just like wasn't in the mood to test. And then, you know, I got the fail, which is, as Emily mentioned, like seeing that screen pop up. You're like, I just sat here for 3+ hours. I'm nervous. And then the screen pops up and it's like, probably failed. Like, good like, try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, okay, it gets the worst. Then I had to go back to the office. So I walked in, they're like, how'd it go?
No.
I'm like,
oh no, not
probably not
that.
Good. Yeah. So, but then that kind of like lit a fire of like, if I don't feel like I'm ready, then I need to prepare more so that I really feel ready going into these. And then that's when I think I took one in March, and then I took the last four, like back to back to back in May. So Maria, I did four in May. I'm sure you could do, you know, all of them in that close period of time. So
thanks.
Good luck. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like your both like your friendship, your support of each other is really getting you through this phase of your life. But I also want to go back to school. And you kind of talked a little bit about just like your friendship and being able to talk on the way to and from work really kind of helped you get through things. In terms of studio projects, I think, Emily, you're an educator right now too, in addition to working at WSP?
So I haven't this past year, but last year I was teaching as an adjunct professor twice a week.
Okay, my gosh, which is a huge time commitment to do that.
It was a lot, yeah. Thus the break this year.
So looking back at studio projects, I'd love to hear if you had like a favorite studio project and then why, and then maybe Emily, I'll transition to kind of like how do you draw from that inspiration as an educator. But we'll start with Maria first studio.
So I think my favorite project was the Portman Prize project. So Georgia Tech has this thing. It's in the second semester of your grad school, and it's sponsored by the Portman family, who's a famous architect here in Atlanta and in the country. But it's basically just a studio-wide competition thing that they do. So all the studios are working on the same prompt, which is different. Usually each studio is kind of doing whatever the professor wants to do. So it was really nice. Like Emily and I weren't in the same studio, but we were working on the similar project, right? Like same prompt. And that was we took a field trip as a studio. And it was just like, it felt not only like project design aside, it was just a really fun semester, even though it was like, it was a mix of like stressful competition. Like some kids were like really intense about it and we're like, oh my God, calm down. But we just had fun. I think it was just really fun. And like, we were really excited and motivated. It was like a mass timber studio. So it was like a new material, and we had great professors and advisors too. And I just felt like I learned a lot. I was really motivated and I liked my project a lot, and it was just like a recipe for success because my professor was great. I had great friends around me and support, mm-hmm. and just like really enjoyed it. And it was a semester I also worked part-time, which is insane. And I feel like if I had to like write it down on paper now, I would never have done that. But somehow it all worked out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was a mass timber like micro housing studio, and the site was in Boston. And yeah, it was just really cool to learn more about a new material and just feel really confident in my project. Also in grad school, you're just more confident than in undergrad. So I think that was it.
Nice. Emily, was that your favorite as well? Or did you have another one that you liked?
I did like it. I think Maria's experience, you know, a lot of the pros I definitely agree with, like using a material. It's definitely one of the most realistic studio projects we've done, which I've noticed are the ones I lean towards liking the most. Like I have a lot of trouble with a very abstract studio project. In undergrad, I understand that. You're trying to understand spatial concepts, things like that. But in grad school, whenever I did have a studio that was very fantasy-like, I was like, I had issues with that, especially coming from the working world and trying to go back into that space. But my favorite was actually when our school has an urban design program as well. And we actually had the opportunity for architects to take an urban design studio. So you kind of do a hybrid with urban design students and architects at the same time. And I really loved working with another discipline. And I think it kind of makes sense for where I am now. I now work in transportation architecture and I like the larger scale, I think. So it was kind of my last semester when we graduated in COVID. So my final review was online, but loved the project. It was focused on the loneliness epidemic and how to design for people to combat loneliness, essentially. And I just loved getting into like the mental health and inner workings of how design really impacts your mood. So like my group really focused on creating almost like a town center, a lot of communal spaces, a walking path. We're like, how does exercise impact, you know, your loneliness and things like that. So, and it was also very relevant as the pandemic was starting. I was like, the parallels are too much and like, like we're all experiencing it right now. So I really, really liked that studio. I also had an awesome professor. We actually had her on, Ellen Dunham Jones. So she's great, which I think makes all the difference too, like what professor you have. So yeah.
That was a good project.
When we talked on your podcast, it seems like having a manager or a mentor who really looks out for you is important. And kind of, Emily, what you just said is having a professor too who takes you under their wing and really wants to inspire and push your boundaries is really important as well.
Yeah.
And so when you're teaching young minds, you know, how do you challenge those students to kind of think more critically and lean into design and then also kind of push their boundaries of what they're comfortable with, but what they could also expand to understand?
Yeah, definitely. So I was teaching freshmen. So this was their first experience with architecture ever. And it kind of just presented a new set of problems that I almost forgot about. Like, they don't know what a plan is. They don't know what section is, just mind blowing. Like, we were literally slicing oranges to understand section. So it was kind of nice though to kind of peel it back to the bones of architecture. And as far as getting them to think critically, it was really like thinking about scale, honestly. They had really a lot of trouble with scale and understanding, like, we're actually designing like an 8x8 room. And how do you make a human-sized person comfortable in this room? Like, how tall should this bench really be? When, you know, in their mind, they'd never thought about that. They were like, oh, I assume a bench to be like 3 feet tall. Nope. Like, you know, so a lot of the time was spent like duct taping the dimensions of the room on the floor and just experiencing it. That just helped them a lot. And something that I wish, honestly, like I did in undergrad too, is really understand scale and, you know, how much space does an arm need to like walk through and not hit everything? You know what I mean? Like, you know, you can get as fancy as you want the facade or like, you know, like your drawings, but in the end, your building has to work. So I was trying to help them out with that. And they ended up creating like little small little shelters for like meditation. And yeah, a lot of it was thinking about who's your user and how best can they use their space, which I think comes back to kind of like the urban design also, and like, a lot of public facing projects and how in architecture in general, the best way to serve the public. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. I remember freshman year, all we wanted to do was like put doors and windows into our things, but we weren't at Drexel. It was just all abstract the first year.
Same with mine.
Yep. So it was like, oh, it's not a door, it's a void. Or, you know, we have mass here, point, line, exactly. Plane, and light and shadow.
Do not call it a door.
You're like, wait, yeah, what? And we're like, we just want to put stairs in a door. And like, you know, to design like that now I think would be really fun. But back then you're so familiar with just like HGTV.
It's very confusing. It's confusing.
Yeah.
And I remember struggling with that exactly. Just the abstract language. Like, they want you to understand like poche and like void.
Yeah,
and
you're like, poche. Like,
I just want to build a house. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. And we adopt this kind of like language where they're starting to talk about things. Like, poche is a word that like most people would not. They're like, charrette. I use that. I'm like, charrette is a very basic word. But then people are like, I've never heard that before. I'm like, oh, yeah, because I hang out with architects all the time. So you kind of have to be like indoctrinated into, maybe I'll say cult, but like kind of the cult of architecture.
Right. Yeah, that's an adaptation period in freshman year.
Mm-hmm. And so I know both of you were working either before grad school or during grad school. What then, you know, during the pandemic, what was that transition like? Did you have to job hunt during COVID? And what was that experience like?
crazy.
Traumatic.
Yeah, just to bring you back to that that exciting, happy time.
I know. It was wild. Tough.
Yeah, I think a lot of our – so we – it was kind of from one extreme to the other because February of that year, I remember we had like a career fair and a lot of us, including myself, didn't even like – they already – people already had job offers. We had signed with firms already. Like we weren't even going to career fair and because it was like 5 jobs to each student. It was like we were just like who is going to give me more money and
– the market was so good the month before.
And so everyone had, you know, all their life laid out. You could pick. And then obviously COVID hit like March, April. And I think still within March, a lot of people rescinded offers or said, okay, you could come, but we can't pay you. Or you can come, but you're furloughed. Or maybe start a month after that. Like, or for the most part, they just paused it. And they're like, we don't know what's going on. And so... Mm-hmm. At least I feel like on my end, it was like told to me pretty early, as early as they could. And then we're still in school for a few more months and before we really needed to find a job. And I was on a student visa, which added a whole other layer to it because I technically couldn't be unemployed for more than I think like 90 days or something. But the borders were closed, so I'm not like, could I even go back to Brazil? I don't know. So it was like surprisingly, obviously I was like worried and stressed, but at the same time, no one really knew what was going on. So it was a mix of like, it's fine. Like no one knows what's going on. So I don't know. There was something in my brain that kept like an optimism there. Thank God, because I don't know. When I think back, I was like, how did I not just completely, you know, break? But yeah, as soon as we graduated, or even before that, we started looking for jobs. Obviously, everyone's like, we don't know. No, we're not hiring. So I ended up finding a job within, like, I started in June, which was still pretty good, which is when I was going to start anyway, had I gone to my previous job offer. But yeah, it was just like a kind of churn out multifamily cookie cutter type firm, but they were busy, they were hiring and no one else was. So it was a job and I took it and it was fine for as long as it was. And then as soon as the economy picked up again and I started, you know, having more opportunity to go do something that I really wanted to do, I left that job. But yeah, that's kind of how that was.
Did you know that you wanted to go into marketing? Were those jobs that you were specifically looking for?
No. So marketing was kind of, it was a nice surprise. It's always something I've been interested in. Like in school, I was marketing for student organizations and stuff like that. I was doing like graphics and social media stuff, but always on the side. But it was always like more fun than studio work. So I was like, this is like, I'd rather be doing this. So at the time I had a friend that was working at an architecture firm, but because they didn't have architecture work, she was put in marketing and she didn't really want to do that. So she was on her way out and they were like, you know, or she was like, she knew that I wanted to leave where I was. So she put my name out there and said, hey, I have this friend who's coming from architecture, but she's interested in marketing. She's talented in graphics, blah, blah, blah. And that's when the interview happened where we talked a lot about the podcast and they were really impressed with that. They're like, oh, maybe you could do a podcast for our firm. And blah. I was like, no, but whatever. It's a lot of work. But the podcast was huge to kind of prove that I could implement other skills and I had other things going aside from just architecture. So that's how that happened. So then I did a whole year of that, which was huge. I learned so much. There's a lot of RFPs, but also a lot of other things. So it was good.
And Emily, what was your experience like in 2020?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So, you know, we had like Maria said, till May pretty much to finish school, which I think in some ways was kind of worse because it really sunk in to firms like, oh, we are slowing down at work and, you know, construction has stopped. And it really depended on your market too. But yeah, I was in talks with a few firms that, you know, in February, they're like, yep, going to give you a job offer right after you graduate. And I'm like over here, like following up, like, hey, just graduated. Oh. Like, hope you're hanging in there. That. Like the classic email. Like,
yeah. Stay safe.
From yeah. Home. Stay safe. Yeah. Stay safe. And my interviews were literally like the early days of Zoom. They had their kids running around. Oh. It was just... So I just for a while, like a lot of these firms, hiring was just not their priority. It was their current staff and just keeping their firm afloat. So a lot of it was just like following up. Like I had like 5 follow-up phone calls with this one firm and they were like, you know what, next week, I think next week is going to be it. Like, you know, like don't worry. And I don't know, just I was talking to my partner about it and he was like, how about you just like study for the AREs during this time instead, or, you know, kind of wait for the market to settle down a little bit. And I also feel like I was applying for jobs I wouldn't like. Like for some reason, I was just like, oh, I need to get a job, like check the box. But then I was kind of yeah. like, you know, do we have the flexibility? You know, and I was lucky that, you know, I had a partner that was working still and his job luckily didn't get laid off. So I kind of used that summer to knock out some AREs. Mm-hmm. And then in the fall, I had a lot more success. Like, I don't know if it was the summer, kind of people like got their firm like back together, things like that. And the fall is just the opportunities were there, were pretty much not fully back, but they were coming back. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I landed with my current firm. And I started that in October. And then at that point, I was able to tell them I am studying for my tests. Like I've done this with my time off. And so it ended up working out. So.
That's good. And were you applying, you ended up in Atlanta or you were back in Philly for that job? So you made the move during that time?
Yeah, good question. I was actually in Atlanta still. So WSP had an Atlanta office and I was there for about a year and a little bit more. And then they have a Philly office. So when we moved, I was actually able to transfer. So okay. Worked out. Yeah.
Excellent. So as we wrap up, I'm wondering just what do you both hope is next for both the podcast and then also your individual careers? And how are you kind of strategizing like to working towards those things? I guess we'll go back to Maria because we just heard from Emily.
I'm like, we need you to direct us.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Maria's like, not me. No.
Go ahead, Maria. Answer it.
Well, okay. Let me start with the podcast first because I haven't really – I'm in the
– okay.
We'll get there. So I think for the podcast, we've been talking a lot about just like expanding our network and kind of – knocking on doors that we haven't explored yet. I think we also have a goal to make some revenue off of it. We haven't been really like it's not like we haven't been able to, it's just like we really haven't tried. We have like a couple of like codes for here and for things here and there for ARE stuff, but just some more consistent things, because then that would definitely like motivate us to do it more consistently and keep doing it, because we want to keep doing it. It's mm-hmm. just really hard with work and life and stuff. So that's kind of where I want to see it going. Yeah, and just like talking about more topics, recording more consistently, and talking to more people that we don't know, because we started with our network obviously, and then, you know, our bubble was listening to it, but we really want more people to come in and tap into other people's networks. So like what we're doing today is great, because like we probably have some of the same listeners, but we're in different networks, so hopefully we can kind of like combine both so that they know each other. And personally, so I'm kind of in a transition period. I decided to quit my job last year and just take some time to figure things out. I was kind of falling out of love with architecture for a bit and just not enjoying it and not really sure what I wanted to do. And I started kind of applying for jobs, but wasn't feeling like it was the right fit, or I wasn't really committed to looking for jobs at the time. So, and it's really hard to look for jobs while you're working. So I was like, I just need some time, and my partner was really supportive of that. He's also an architect, so he knows. since the holidays and then January, February, I kind of just didn't do much, like just tried to introspective, you know, moments and thinking, figure it out what I liked and what I didn't like, and talking to friends and talking to mentors having coffee with everyone I know. And then in January, actually, like, I took the holidays in, you know, November, December. But then January, I was like, I kind of like architecture. I want to get licensed. I came all this way. Then I was like really happy about having that finally click in my head and decide to study. And then I started really consistently, especially with not working. It was like, okay, let me establish the schedule of studying. And if I find a job, decide to find a job, I will already have this as like the baseline. And it won't be like job and then study when I can. It would be like, I'm studying. And then if I decide to go look for a job, I will do that. And then I had a friend reach out, an old friend from school. She's a few years ahead of me. And she partnered up with another friend of hers, an old colleague, and they started a tiny firm in Atlanta. And she's like, do you have time to help? So I'm contracting with them, doing some of their marketing as well, but also architecture. So it's nice that I'm like still connected. I'm not losing all of my Revit skills. So I'm still doing that, but still prioritizing studying. So that's where I'm at right now. It's been good so far. They're really, really good people and good people to learn from. And they're not like far from where we are. So it's really inspiring to see them have a firm and learn from them. And they're also really like, it just feels like school because we're all pretty young and just having fun with it. So it's been a great change of pace too. And the flexibility of like working part-time and studying part-time and just having a little bit more balance.
Mm-hmm. Balance is key. That really keeps you. When you're off balance and working too much or studying too much, it really just throws like the rest of everything off.
Yeah.
So I think that's really brave. And I commend you for being like, you know what? I don't really like what I'm doing. I'm going to stop and have time to reassess. I think a lot of people are afraid of doing that or like can't do it or feel like they can't do it.
It's a huge privilege and having that flexibility and support. I mean, honestly, it was mostly my husband who was like, just leave.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, but I have to have another job. But I didn't want to just jump into the next thing without really thinking about it. I think COVID has our like generation, like from the people that graduated in 2020 or 2021, we've been kind of just going to where they'll take us. And it's been only in the last few years, maybe a year and a half, that I've felt like I had a choice and like more agency in my career path. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to take the time to really think about what I want next. So I'm in that process right now.
That's key. Emily, what is next for you or your perspective of what's next for the podcast too?
Yeah, no, I agree with everything Maria said. We do a lot of brainstorming sessions, kind of thinking outwards. And, you know, I think developing people really like, I think the whatever journey we're on. So if Maria's taking tests, we really want to continue putting out test content because that's always something that people are going through. So we still have like a lot more of that coming. So, and we have people asking about that, like when's the next ARE episode coming out, things like that. So we'll definitely keep going with that. And then, yeah, exactly, like broadening our network and yeah, just kind of following along like with our life phase. Like, would love to hear Maria when she does do her four tests back to back, what was that like? Or like, you know, even talking about, you know, her recent role contracting, what that's been like. So we always have really cool content, I think, to draw from our personal lives too. So as far as personal, yeah, I really had to think about that one. Cause yeah, we saw these questions before this and I was like, wow, I don't know. I feel like I should reflect more, but it's just like day to day, you're just trying to like, you know, make it through. And I think it's a really good exercise. But yeah, ultimately, you know, I'm on that project manager track and I think I want to continue on that. I think I found my niche and we kind of talked about how some architects go the technical route and really just want to stay detailing, stay in CAD. And I don't think that's for me. So I think I've come to that point where as stressful as project management is, like there are days where I'm like, oh, I wish like everyone left me alone. Like, you know, like a project manager is constant. Like, where is this? Or what can I charge to this? Or when is this due? And eventually I'm like, I miss the days where I just had headphones in and no one talked to me. But ultimately, my favorite part of my job is getting to talk to people and getting to do meetings. And I think my brain functions that better in that way, on the communication side. So would love to continue doing that. And I've recently gotten more involved with kind of mentorship, and, you know, we do that with our podcast. And then also, like, there are a lot of, there's a Women in Transportation Society in Philly where, you know, I have a mentor who goes to Penn right now, and just finding more opportunities to mentor the next generation. And also would love to circle back to teaching too. It's really been challenging as I've gotten promoted and as I've taken on more responsibility to, it required the person to leave at 2 p.m. every Tuesday, Thursday, which I had worked out in my previous position. But with this one, I'm just like, how am I going to do that? Like, and then, you know, having to log back on at night and, you know, finish things up. So trying to get back to a space where I could do that again would be great as a PM. So, yeah.
Excellent. And so if people want to follow more about your individual journeys, but also the AREs and all of that, or just check out some of those older episodes. I guess you said the lead episode is like a hit. Where can people find the podcast or connect with both of you individually?
Our podcast is on Instagram at Open Blank Podcast, and all the episodes are, I'm pretty sure, on most podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, Google, Deezer, all the things. And we also have a website where we just kind of link our website or our episodes, but we have been brainstorming like a blog idea, so we might have a little bit more content on the website soon. But yeah, we have like plus 30 plus episodes out, and it covering from personal to professional, like architecture, ARE stuff, interviews with our partners, like you can really just get to know us. And we're also on LinkedIn at Open Plan Podcast, and both of us are also on LinkedIn if you want to connect with us. But yeah, so come follow us. It's a fun time.
Yes.
Excellent. Please do.
And I'll put all of those links if people are, you know, driving or running or whatever, listening to this, everything will be in the show notes so you can go back later and awesome. It'll be linked for all of those.
Perfect.
So thank you both so much for joining me today. I feel like we could just keep talking, but I know we have to end this at some point. So it was really great to hear about both of your journeys, and I'm such a fan of the podcast. So I'm excited for more content to come out, and I appreciate your time today.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us. It's been an honor. We really, really love your podcast as well.
Yes. Thanks so much. I'm glad we did this, and have a new friend now. Yeah, we love that. Just being
growing next our time podcast. I'm in Philly and we should all get together.
Yes, we have to. That'd be great. Let's do it. Yeah. Thank you so much, Caitlin. It's been really fun.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Architect Debt. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to share it with your network, leave us a 5-star rating and review, and follow us on social media. Reach out to the podcast directly at architectet.com. That's architect, E-T-T-E.com. Join us in 2 weeks for our next episode. See you then.